The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray had a delightful weekend, as did I, celebrating my wedding anniversary on Cinco de Mayo. We had a great weekend, and here we go now into the week on the Buckmaster Show. We kick things off, of course, on Monday with our Monday political face-off, today being the 7th day of March 2018. We come to you each weekday from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, and of course KVOI.com has 24/7 listening for you, all of our programs, 6 hours of local programming each weekday, and of course all of our national programs. I've got pretty much every podcast, every show we've done up on my website since January of 2011. 790-2040, if there's something during the hour that you would like to contribute. First, of course, the Monday political face-off, then General Wickham. I can't think of a better person to give some insight into the upcoming summit between the United States and North Korea. General Wickham will have some insight into that at 12:30. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, hanging systems. In other words, Moe makes house calls, and he does a great job. Brings out all the proper equipment and makes sure everything is on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course they're on Facebook. This week we have Bruce Ash with us, Mr. Ash in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi.
Thank you.
Don, did you have a great trip to Europe?
It was incredible. I've mentioned first time to France, and we get to visit not just Paris, which was wonderful, but Normandy, which is fascinating, moving, just puts another whole dimension on understanding of what happened during the war and since, and we just had a wonderful time.
Was it crowded at Normandy?
No, it wasn't. I'll tell you, if you want a time to go, go in April. It was great. And we had the typical spring weather, so that was a nice change from Tucson. During the time we were at Utah Beach, for example, we had rain, wind, and sun all in at the same hour.
And that but being not in a real crowded environment probably enhanced the experience there.
It did. You really got the sense of not just the beaches, but the towns there and a real vision for what the soldiers experienced in surviving that and winning and what they encountered and endured was just incredible. And still to this day, the respect that the French people there in the villages have for our soldiers from not just the U.S., but Canada and Britain and all, from then and to this day is still impressive.
And it's on your bucket list, Mr. Ash.
Yeah, in fact, we are going there on a University of Arizona alumni cruise visiting Holland, Belgium, the Normandy beaches and so on, and then back to London and kind of doing the whole Churchill experience as well. I'm very, very much looking forward to it. I was on a flight coming back to Tucson from Florida on Saturday, and from Dallas to Tucson, I watched Darkest Hour again.
Ooh.
And you know, if you close your eyes and just listen, you really do believe that was Winston Churchill talking in Parliament.
Well, you were out of town during the strike then here, the teacher strike.
A part of it,
What was accomplished in the teacher strike? We'll begin with you, Don. Did you think that it was a worthwhile endeavor?
Without question. Yeah, this was perhaps the first time we saw a significant act by public employees, and particularly educators, where they took action that made a difference. I guess this is what it took to say enough is enough. You know, for years, Arizona has been at the bottom of teacher pay and all of that. But you never hear too much except from the leaders of the Arizona Education Association, Save Our Schools, certain speakers like Dave Safir, who you have on your show many times. But you never saw the teachers themselves rally and speak out until I guess it took Doug Ducey continuing to ignore them long enough to where they did. The result, if you recall, just perhaps 3 weeks earlier, the governor was proposing only a 1% increase in teacher salaries, nothing more. It took this level of effort to make a change. And so I think two things happen for the educators now. They realize that, yes, their voice does matter. They can speak out, and that it did make a difference. It went from the 1% to now a promise of 20% over 3 years. We'll see if that actually happens. There's some question there. But they also realize that just speaking out and just marching is not enough, and that it's going to take sustained effort. It's going to take active effort all around the elections over the next several years to continue to make any gains. This is just the first step. And as we saw with the teachers, yes, the raises were just the first step, but that's not all that they were asking for. There is still no support for support staff. There's no support for crumbling school infrastructure and many other areas that they were advocating for. But it was a huge first step.
Bruce, some of your posts on Facebook were very critical of this teacher strike.
I don't think so. I think I just called it the way it is.
Okay.
This was an election strategy. And, you know, hats off to this group. I don't think it'll be successful. Frankly, the people who ought to be nervous about the teacher strikes across our state should be school districts. It's school districts who deal with the raises or not raises for teachers on a district-by-district basis. Yes, the governor, the legislature create funding for schools and for the overall education facilities here in Arizona. But it is the school districts who decide the pay structures and how their teachers will be compensated. And frankly, with the bloated oversized administrative costs where so much of every taxpayer dollar fails to make it into the classroom, it's been clear who has had the upper hand with teachers for many, many years. I think it would have been far less effective had the teachers gone in front of TUSD at 1010 or Flowing Wells or Vail or wherever it happened to be, because nobody's going to notice that. You know, like I said, this was a great election strategy for the teachers. I think the strike went too long. I think there's a lot of parents, which anecdotally they talk a lot about this. They were unhappy that the teachers stayed out for so long.
You would if they started on a Thursday, and some thought that it would be like a 4-day deal with the weekend and back at class.
It was a major disruption.
And then you see, you think there was erosion. A lot of people have said that there's been erosion in public support among parents when it went too long.
Look, well, none of us want more taxes, okay? No. You know, so the parents who are clamoring for teachers to get more more pay, and hey, I raised two children in town. I have a grandchild who'll be going to school in just a few years myself. We want the best teachers that we can possibly find. But this sort of thing that really, really disrupted families and work and everything else, that was sort of how things started going sour at the end.
Don?
Well, that was a Republican strategy in Phoenix to try to pit teachers against parents, but that failed.
How did that work, Don? That is completely illogical.
Well, not if you listen to what the legislature said.
That was a Republican ploy. Give me a break. Come on.
Well, you know, when you hear legislator after legislator on the right say the same thing, yeah, you have to assume there's some coordination there. The reason the walkout and really was a demonstration at the Capitol, mm-hmm. took as long as it did, is that's when the Capitol was in session. That's when they were dealing with the budget. And the educators learned that, you know, if they just went to 2 days, had a kind of a display and then left, that the changes would not have taken place. They were there until the budget was passed, and typically the Republican leadership took that all through midnight, and I think the final vote was,
wee hours of the morning.
And
the early morning.
The teachers were there the entire time. They realized that's how important it was. Now, the other side, what the Republicans and the governors did, of course, is, as Bruce kind of points out, shifted the decision-making to the school districts. The money was given to the school districts, and they're told, you figure it out in terms of the raises. But again, what they have done is what they've continued to do, and that's failed to give them sufficient funds to provide for restoring the infrastructure, supporting the other staff, classified staff, counselors, you know, not even special ed teachers, not even art, music teachers were part of this focus on raises. And so again, they have done nothing to replace the billion or so that was denied them during the past 10 years that was owed to them. They've given the school districts less than they need to get back to level from 10 years ago and said, you decide.
That's just untrue.
Can you hold your thought?
Untrue and inaccurate.
All right, hold your thought, and you will be up first, Bruce, after we take the break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen with us. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Walton Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presents the Monday Political Face-Off. After you've stopped off at Moe's, how about heading up to Mona's? My favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Bruce, do you know what a Danish kringle is?
I used to get a Danish kringle every Christmas from Reince Priebus. Whoa. He sent them to all the RNC members. I loved them.
Yeah, they're terrific. Have you heard of them?
You're talking to a Jorgensen.
I'm
Danish, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Grew up on those.
Of course.
Wonderful.
Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise for Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and to all the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday during the noon hour for the monthly Scam Alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, plus the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Buckmaster, noon to one on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcast, show archive at buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Don Jorgensen seated to my left, Bruce Ash to my right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Roland Dodge presenting our face-off. Bruce, I gave you just a quick kind of response to what Don had said concerning schools. Why don't you pick it up from there?
You know, look, we all know that there was a great disruption, not just in education, but all through the state budget for Arizona as a result of the recession. And there were tremendous cuts everywhere, education included. But that we aren't fully funding education is just not the case when so much more money, particularly since Doug Ducey became governor, has actually flowed into education. What I'm very disappointed with on the education front is that the Prop 123 money has not got, particularly in Tucson Unified School District, has not got to the right places. It was supposed to go primarily for teachers, and it hasn't. And that's, I think, a huge problem that needs
Where
to be taken
Where did it go?
Care. It went to the bloated, you know, bureaucracy that exists there. And now, you know, the big thing at TUSD is going to be, getting off the DSEG money. If I go back and listen to radio broadcasts, I read, you know, periodicals, I read journals from back in the 30s and the 40s, the 50s and the 60s. We've never had what everybody wants education to be funded, not just here, but across the country. And when you talk to parents of kids in places like Washington, D.C., where they spend over $12,000 per pupil, or in New York City, in Chicago, other metropolitan areas, everybody says that they still aren't getting the quality out of their educational process. Kids are not going on to college with proper skills. Too many kids are dropping out of high school. Too many kids get left out along the way. This ranking 50th is also just a misnomer as all. On the basis of what I hear, we're all ranked 50th.
All right, let's go to the live line. Don is chuckling about that. As I set this up, Don, quick comment as we go to Anna Henderson. I believe it's Anna.
Anna.
Anna Henderson is with us.
Hi.
Hi,
yes,
Anna.
Yes, and another fellow Dane.
Yeah, and you're also a candidate,
yeah,
right, for what is it, LD, Legislative District Number 9 as a Republican. Did I get that correct?
That's correct, State Representative. Yes, and so on the comment that Mr. Jorgensen had regarding the misappropriation of responsibility is what I wanted to address, because your assumption, Mr. Jorgensen, with all due respect, is that you wanted the state to come in heavy hand on the appropriations. Is that what I heard you say? Because Republicans are for local control, but our definition seems to differ from yours. We want that responsibility in the hands of the voters, in the citizenry, not in the local bureaucracy.
All right.
So if you want the state to come in heavy hand, then what I'm hearing from you is that you don't embrace local control. And I think that's an important distinction for the voters to hear.
All right, Anna, let's let Dr. Jorgensen respond.
Well, I think you would have to admit that the city of Tucson would argue with you about the Republicans at the state believing in local control. There's enough hypocrisy there to go around. My comment about the state continual underfunding of education in Arizona is this. You cannot continue to starve a program. You cannot continue to starve the educational system of funding and then complain that they're not healthy. And that's what we're hearing happen. You know, Bruce's comments and then yours, I think, might have some validity if every state provided the same level of funding per student or for public systems and then compare them. But what's happened here is the money continues, as I said, to not be at the level even that it was at 10 years ago, and costs have increased and demands have increased, while there's been now the splitting out of funding going to private schools through vouchers, through the charter systems, without almost any level of accountability compared to the accountability that school systems have. So you're trying to twist that and comparing apples and oranges, and it just doesn't work. I'd say let's fund the districts at the level they need just to, let's say, keep our teachers from continuing to leave the state, and then, yes, demand the levels of accountability that we should demand for our students. But right now, the school districts are not being given adequate funding to provide the support staff that are needed, whether it's counselors or special ed teachers, to even fix broken air conditioning. We need to deal with all those issues if that's a priority, rather than, for example, tax cuts for corporate jets.
Ingrid has called us at 790-2040. Hello, Ingrid.
Hello. I'd like to add to this the issue of the complaints by teachers that they have so much work to do and they bring it home. I strongly recommend that no work be allowed to be removed from the school premises, and all of the work is to be done right on the school grounds in front of cameras, cameras in the classrooms, cameras in the offices. Children's privacy, of course, needs to be protected, so you wouldn't let anyone outside of the school system see that what's going on in the classrooms. But the teachers are not to take any work home, and I would like to see a longer work day for them.
Okay.
Like the rest of us do in the regular working world.
All right. No homework for teachers.
Well, there's a lot of kids who'd vote for that. I certainly would have if given a chance when I was a kid. But let's deal with maybe a part of the teacher question that Ingrid talked about, and that is teacher control of classrooms, because we see real serious disruption in many classrooms across particularly Tucson Unified School District. Teachers have to have a greater hand in providing control of their classrooms. And kids need to be held accountable. Teachers certainly are held accountable, and students do also. And they have to be accountable not just in the essence of the educational system, Bill, but they also have to be accountable to their fellow students. Because when there's disruptions in classes that continue on, their friends don't get the education that they deserved either. If I was Governor Ducey, I might have tackled that as well. And then the other is on curriculum, because kids aren't getting the basics. Reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, civics, and these are the thing. And home, kind of home ec. How to manage a checkbook and so on. So many kids leave high school, they immediately go into the workforce, and they have no idea how to run a household, how to run an apartment, how to manage a household at all. These are key skills that we're leaving. And Don mentioned vouchers and charter schools. Parents are voting with their feet. If you look just at Tucson Unified School District, how many children their parents have taken them out of the district into those other forms?
Don, the final words.
Funny you mention the issues of control in the classroom. One of the things Ducey could have done is provide the funding for smaller class sizes. They failed there. And so, again, it comes back to providing the adequate support so that the teachers, the school districts can provide the services. And your idea about, kind of financial education, all that, great ideas. I don't know teachers that want to work more for no money.
Will this hurt the two candidates who have been kind of the education candidates for governor, Dr. Garcia, the ASU educator, and Steve Farley? I'm not taking anything away from the third candidate, Kelly Fryer, but Farley and Garcia have kind of made education their centerpiece.
They have been strong advocates, both of them, for education support for a long time. I think it only helps because it's proven them correct. The Democrats
it have brings
seen,
more focus,
and the
perhaps?
Education leaders have seen that it was the Democratic candidates who had their back from the beginning, pushing for not just the increased funding for teachers, but for school infrastructure and all that support versus a Ducey who was going to try to get away with 1%.
Hurt,
so I think it helps.
Hurt, Bruce? Will it hurt them or not?
I think in the end, it's Governor Ducey who's going to win that election, not just based upon the performance with the budget this spring, but adding jobs and you know, creating a more vibrant economy here in Arizona.
All right, Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, hope both of you have a great week. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook, is proud to present the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show, where we are now at the mid-break. We're coming up now on a little past 12:30. General Wickham, and we'll talk about the upcoming United States-North Korea summit meeting coming up right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push now toward 12:34 here on a lovely but rather warm, unusually warm, early May afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. The Buckmaster Show, one of our fine sponsors, and we have just such a great lineup. I'm so proud that these folks have been with us in some cases many years with our program, like Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over there urge our Tucsonans to take a trip to Silver City. It's just a 3-hour drive. And when it hits 100 here, probably mid-80s over there in Silver City, and that's enough incentive, isn't it, to take that 3-hour drive to a lovely portion of the southwestern United States. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the many, many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He's also Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and United States Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and it's always a pleasure to have him on our program. General, how are you?
How are you, good friend?
Is that Korean?
That's Korean, yes. And so, I studied that over there until the coup d'etat, and then we had to do other things to keep things together.
Do the Koreans speak a common language? Is there a dialect, a major dialect change between the North and the South, General Wickham?
A very interesting point, Bill, because the North Koreans banished, believe it or not, they banished Chinese because they wanted to be independent, and it irritates China. And South Korea, Chinese is still used a great deal, and the North Koreans, we discovered when I was over there as a commander, were using words that they had developed themselves, and the South Korean didn't understand what they were. So there is a little detachment between the two, but essentially, yes, they speak the same language. And interesting, it goes back centuries. One of the emperors of Korea felt that Chinese was too hard to learn, had to study and memorize too many characters, so he had his experts develop a new language, Hangul. And Hangul has 10 vowels and 14 consonants, and their strokes. It looks like Chinese or Japanese, but it's a Korean, and very easy to learn, and that's what they use.
790-2040, if you would like to join in our conversation. Of course, we will be talking quite a bit during the half hour about North Korea, and we have the North Korea-United States summit that apparently will occur maybe late May or early in June. And General Wickham, what do your sources say about where the likely venue will be for this?
Well, one site could be Singapore, but my guess is it's probably going to be Panmunjom in the demilitarized zone, because it's easy for the North Korean leader to move there. The North Korean leader does not fly in an airplane, because they don't have modern airplanes and because they're suspicious of an assassination. I've seen that over there on trips, having them going on trains. So my guess is it's going to be in a demilitarized zone. Yeah, there's going to be a summit. It's really a very remarkable event. I would not have our hopes too high, Bill, that something real is going to come out of this. I don't think that President Trump and his cabal of advisors and even Kim Jong-un understand denuclearization. Denuclearization means giving up all your weapons and all your technology so that you are bereft of the ability to start all over again. That's what's happened with Iran, believe it or not. Iran still has some capabilities. But the Iran nuclear deal, a wonderful deal, despite what President Trump says, is something that we should keep because for 15 to 20 years, it stops Iran from having nuclear weapons in the Middle East. And it could be an example for many other countries. The king of Saudi Arabia, Salman, has said, if Iran ever gets a nuclear weapon, I'm buying one from Pakistan tomorrow. Hmm. And he said that, and he means that. So you could have widespread nuclear activity in the Middle East. The Iran deal stops that dead in the tracks. So we need to keep the deal. It's not perfect, but it's a deal, and it works. And the UN inspectors that have gone into Iran, and they've gone everywhere, military places and non-military, and they say they report regularly that Iran is complying 100% with the deal.
All right. Getting back now to the Korean situation, there have been some reports, General Wickham, that the reason we're seeing this movement now on North Korea's part is because China is behind this and pushing the North Koreans to talk to the United States. And one possible reason, it's been reported there was some venting, nuclear radiation venting from underground sites that have actually collapsed in the north, and the Chinese don't like the idea of radiation being blown into their country.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The testing that China, that North Korea has done, they tested six weapons that we're aware of. It could be more. And they've tested them underground in tunnels. And the tunnels have collapsed. And they do it on mountains. So some of that has gone into Russia and into China, and they don't want to have that happen anymore. But one of the reasons, quite aside from pressure from China and other countries on North Korea, I think that the North Koreans believe that the legacy of Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, who is the one who started this whole program of nuclear activity, and I'm aware of that. I was over there with Jim Schlesinger visiting the South Korean leadership when we were aware the North Koreans were pursuing nuclear weapons. The legacy of that activity is an arsenal now that is almost complete. They have ballistic missiles. They have thermonuclear weapons. They have an arsenal of at least 60 weapons and the makings probably of 60 or 100 more. So why not use that arsenal as leverage to get a good deal for North Korea and get rid of these sanctions, which are beginning to really hurt North Korea? So I think the North Koreans may see that the legacy of our founder, Kim Il-sung, is now complete. Let us use that legacy for our benefit rather than let it just sit on the hillside and morph with mothballs.
Well, why would North Korea give up the entire arsenal? That question, and is it safe to say you don't think they're going to give up the arsenal?
I don't. And the experts who are beginning now to talk about this say the same thing for several reasons. And you're very aware of that, that the nuclear weapons in North Korea are the guarantee of protection of their country. And they have a paranoia that, Bill, you and I and other Americans completely unaware of, the paranoia. It's the same paranoia that the Russians have about NATO and the European Union, Russia having lost 2 million people from Napoleon and Hitler. So there is a real threat that they feel, and the North Koreans feel that threat. So for them to give up all these weapons, I think is probably unlikely and difficult. Also, more and more people who are experts are saying now that in order to guarantee that they have done it, you have to have completely intrusive inspections. And the United Nations does not have enough inspectors to do this. And there's not enough inspectors in the world to do it. So it's difficult to verify what the North Koreans are planning to do if anything happens. So the likelihood, I think, is remote. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. There are things that can be done. We can get them to stop testing. We can get them to sign up again for the proliferation, non-proliferation treaty, which they originally did. And we can get the North Koreans to allow some inspections of the North. And I think all of that can lead to some sort of prosperity for North Korea. It could be that the result of the meeting, if it happens between Trump and Kim Jong-un, could be that we agree, the two of us agree, that we got to give up these weapons, but we're going to have a committee of nations and experts work out the details, and that will take months, if not years.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, I want to talk with General Wickham about unification between the North and the South. So much more to discuss with General John Wickham, retired Chief of Staff of the United States Army. If you have any questions, 790-2040 that you would like to ask General Wickham, or perhaps you have a comment on these upcoming negotiations, discussions, let us know. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 11 minutes now until 1 o'clock. Some exciting news from our fine sponsor, Green Things. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway, is moving soon to Green Things. They'll be on the 13 acres over at Green Things, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park on River Road. That means all that great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and some from Europe right now is available on a pre-move sale. Great sales items now at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. So check it out before the merchandise moves over to Green Things, which Zocalo will be now housed on that beautiful Green Things site. So some exciting news from one of our sponsors. General John Wickham is with us, the retired United States Army Chief of Staff. General Wickham, one of our Facebook friends, Jeff, wants me to ask you, have you written any books? And this listener says, I could listen to General Wickham's stories for hours. So go ahead, General.
Oh, thanks, Jeff, very much. That's kind of you. So I did write a book. It's still in the publication. It's called Korea on the Brink. And it's also translated in Hangul in Korea. And it's about the very difficult time after the president was assassinated, coup d'etat, insurrection. We almost went to war again. And there's some very interesting aspects about the current situation in the book. So, yes, that is true. And I another point that Bill was asking about reunification. That is, of course, a desire of both North and the South to reunify their countries. And there are many families that are split. The South Koreans used to be able to go up and visit, not anymore. So reunification is a desire of both Koreas. Now, in contrast to Germany, East and West Germany, reunification was far simpler and cheaper for the Germany than with Korea. The disparity in income between North and South Korea is so great that reunification would be very, very costly to the South Koreans. Their income would have to drop an enormous amount unless somebody's going to pay the bill. And no one's going to pay the bill, and North Korea does not have the economy to make up the difference. North Korea is bereft of land to grow crops for food, although they do have mining capabilities up there, coal and iron and other minerals. So North Korea can play a role in that regard, but the cost of reunification would be substantial, and it's going to take time to do that. This is something that when I was a commander, we talked a great deal to the South Korean leaders about. They want to do it, but the cost is enormous, and it just kind of, you just can't open up the border and say, now we're one nation. The North Koreans would flood into the South because they don't have enough in the North, or they'd try to go into China, and China does not want to have the North Koreans in China. So the idea of reunification is a moral one, but practically it's not on the horizon.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation with General Wickham. General, you talked about in your book, On the Brink, we almost went to war. There was almost a full-blown war over that assassination of the South Korean president, correct?
That's exactly right. And President Reagan became president, and the North Koreans tried to shoot down some of our reconnaissance aircraft, and I was over there as the commander, and I was instructed by the president to come up with a plan to attack North Korea if they ever did it again or tried to do it, and I did develop a plan. And we had, when the plan was approved, we had pilots in cockpits, we had ships at sea, we had people on the demilitarized zone ready to invade North Korea, and I was given the authority as commander to invade North Korea if they had tried to shoot down one of our aircraft. And I was meeting with the South Korean leaders about all of this, and we flew some test aircraft to see if they would. And we were listening to the North Koreans. We were able to break their code, and South Koreans were amazed at our ability to be able to do that. But the North Koreans resisted. They decided, no, we're not going to have a war again.
What would the cost have been in terms of lives if the United States had gone through with your plan to invade North Korea? What would that have meant in our treasured youth?
It probably would have meant maybe 500,000 killed.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the impact on the South Koreans might be a million killed. And that, of course, is the tragedy of the situation of trying to have an attack on North Korea. The North Koreans could react and kill millions of South Koreans. Bill, you know the distance from downtown Seoul, Korea, to the demilitarized zone is the same distance from Oro Valley to Davis-Monthan.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. It would have been a huge loss of life, and luckily cooler heads prevailed. So what do you think's going to come out of all of this? And how does reunification fit into the United States' plans at these talks with the North?
I think the United States would be supportive eventually of reunification of the North and the South. China would want that to happen, but not a country that is going to be oriented towards the United States. That's what China worries about, is that reunification could lead to North Korea becoming like South Korea with the United States there. They don't want that to happen. North Korea wants North Korea, China wants North Korea to be a buffer between South Korea and China. So China has some worries about the whole idea of reunification. How I think all this is going to play out is probably there is going to be a summit, and there is going to be some agreement on some sort of nuclear denuclearization with the North. But it's probably going to lead to some sort of long-term negotiation that could last months, if not a year or more.
All right, and quickly, Afghanistan, the situation has deteriorated now to the point where it's really chaos, isn't it, over there?
It is, really, and the Taliban is still very active throughout the country, and the legitimate government in Kabul, the Afghan government, unable to pay for its own defense. We're spending millions of dollars every month to support them, and we're going to have to continue to do that. But better to spend the money than to spend our lives. Trying to send Americans over there to fight the war is wrong. We cannot do it because the problems in Afghanistan are part of the whole problems of the Middle East. The distance between the Sunni and the Shia, and who's been in charge and who is not in charge, and the militias that exist, and the militias that are able to get sanctuary in Pakistan, and Pakistan has not been helpful in stopping that sanctuary arrangement. So there are serious problems, and to the extent we arm Pakistan, India gets upset with all of that. So it's a complicated situation that can only be solved regionally, and we're not doing that adequately.
All right, General Wickham, we'll talk to you the first Monday in June, and June is your birthday month, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be 90 years old.
Oh, my goodness. You're still going strong, 90 years old.
The good Lord has given me a lot of blessings.
Oh, my goodness. My very best.
Friendship with you.
Well, thank you so much. Very best to your lovely wife, Anne, and the whole Wickham family. What a great family. General Thanks. Wickham, thank you so much.
God bless, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. I did not realize. I knew he was going to be close to 90, but I did not know that June, his birthday month, he'll be 90 years old. And he is amazing and certainly has been a role model for me and a lot of other people. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Mike's nowhere near 90 years old, but Ray Allen isn't either. So the two of them together, team, maybe you could get, well, you can't even get close to 90 if you combine their two birth dates. No. Anyway, enough of that. Wake up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, with you at 12:04. On behalf of Ray, I am Bill. Have a great afternoon.